You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
If God wanted to send a message to the intellectual and cultural elite today in New York, Chicago, or Los Angeles, what kind of person do you think he would choose? Maybe a talented actor, a popular politician, a wealthy socialite maybe, or maybe a well-known business magnate. Well, if you haven't heard the story of the prophet Amos before, you might be surprised to find out what kind of man God sent to the big city of his time with a message for the king and high society. I'm Steve Schwetz, and this, of course, is Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. And it's our first day in the Old Testament prophetic book of Amos. So if you've not read the book of Amos lately, to find it, go to the big book of Daniel and then turn a few pages forward to find Amos's story. We'll begin in chapter 1. And just in case you're wondering, God is sending a message today to New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles through the ministry of Through the Bible. And not only there, but also to London, Beijing, Delhi, Moscow, Sydney, Dubai, and almost every other major city in the world. This simple 5-year journey through the whole Word of God is available to almost everyone who wants to listen, and often in their own heart language. And you know, God is so faithful to get His Word out, and we are so grateful to be a tool in His hand. Now, before we dive into Amos, let's hear a few of our fellow passengers on the Bible bus. Here's an email from one in Ontario, Canada. Thank you for your ministry. I feel so encouraged to be able to support you. So many people are coming to Jesus. The other day, I talked to my half-brother in Uruguay, and he told me that by listening to the broadcast in Spanish, he got saved. He is 60 years old, and I would have never thought that he would give his life to the Lord by listening to Dr. McGee. Praise the Lord Jesus. Wow, don't you want to second that praise the Lord, knowing that people are coming to Jesus Christ through the teaching of God's Word? Our next letter is from a listener in Albany, Oregon, who says this. My husband and I are in our 80s now, and we wonder if we're doing one thing for the Lord's work of spreading the gospel. We know that we are to go and teach or preach, but we cannot even leave our home and small surrounding towns. So when you tell us about reaching people in India and many other places, we sincerely hope that our small offering helps make this possible. We can't go, but maybe we can send. Keep up the good work and telling all who will listen about the gospel. Dr. McGee has been gone for more than 30 years, but his sermons are just as good as they always were, and we know why. It's because they are always about Jesus. That's a story that we'll sing about into eternity. You know, you're right, and thank you for partnering with us and for encouraging us all through your note. And your prayer support is more valuable than anything else you can do. We want you to know that God is using you to stir His family to love and good works, as Hebrews 10 tells us to do. Let's pray for one another as we study God's Word. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word and Your promise that it will not return without accomplishing Your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now here's our study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee in Amos chapter 1 as we go through the Bible together.
Now, friends, as we come to the little prophecy of Amos, I think, first of all, that we ought to try to locate him in prophecy. We are going to find that he was born down in Judah, the southern kingdom, but he was the prophet in the northern kingdom. His message was delivered in Samaria at the king's chapel, as we shall see, and it's a most unusual message for a man to have come from such a country, out-of-the-way place, and he has a message of judgment against all the surrounding nations. And he had a global view of life and of God's program for the entire world, not only for the present then, but for the future. It makes this man a most remarkable prophet, as we shall see. He was contemporary with Jonah and with Hosea. They were prophets in the northern kingdom. He was also contemporary with Isaiah and Micah in the southern kingdom. And let me now read the first verse of the first chapter. The words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. Now, this is the one that's labeled Jeroboam the second, by the way, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Now, I want to approach this prophet a little bit different than we've approached any other prophet before. I want us to get acquainted with him personally, because to get acquainted with this man, to me, is to love him and to understand his prophecy better. Now, I want to turn to the 7th chapter and get a personal insight into this man and his ministry yonder in Samaria in the northern kingdom. I'm turning to chapter 7, verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, said to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos, and said to Amaziah, I'm no prophet, neither am I a prophet's son, but I'm an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. And then you have the message. But this now brings the man before us. Now, I want us to look at him, and I have labeled him the country preacher who came to town. And you find, first of all, his birthplace, where he was raised, his hometown. 6 miles south of Jerusalem, there is the familiar place of Little Bethlehem. The prophet had said, Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth. Bethlehem has become famous, but there was another little place that was 6 miles southeast of Bethlehem called Tekoa, and it is not so well known. In fact, Amos is not even mentioned anywhere else in the Old Testament. There is an Amos in Mary's genealogy that's given in Luke, but no relation to this Amos at all. And the little town of Tekoa that he came from is practically an unknown place. It was a place where a prophetess came and gave David a message, and David was familiar with that area because that is the area he'd gone in to hide from King Saul. And let me tell you, that's a real wilderness down there. The nation Israel today is made along by the side of the Dead Sea, a nice highway that leads to Masada, and then you can come back around through Arad and back down up through Hebron and through Bethlehem. But you don't get near Tekoa because it is over in that wilderness. And I'm sure that most of you have never heard of it. And little wonder, it's no reflection at all. It's a ghost town today, and it never was, even in its heyday, more than a wide place in the road. It was a whistle stop. It was just a jumping off place. It was a camping ground. It was really a country crossroads, and it was on the frontier. It's one of those places that we used to have in Texas, where they said to get to the place, you had to go as far as you can in a buggy and then get off and walk another couple of miles Well, Tekoa was that kind of a place, 12 miles southeast of Jerusalem, in that frightful wilderness, by the way. Tekoa is in that spot, and it's the birthplace of Amos. And the only claim that it ever had the greatness is the fact that Amos came from there. Now, Tekoa is on the edge of that frightful wilderness, which goes down to the very edge of the Dead Sea. It's on that ridge overlooking the Dead Sea. It's a desert wilderness where wild animals howl by night. And by day, you can see spots here and there where there was the remains of the camps of the Bedouins as they moved through that area. They did not stay. There's the blackened ground there for the nomad and the vagabond of the desert. The Bedouins live there. It was a desert jungle. Adam Smith says this: the men of Tekoa looked out upon a desolate and haggard world. And this is the area in which Bishop Pike should not have gone, for this is where he died. And strange things happen in that area. There are those that even today say that it's the place of demons. Now, this was the hometown of Amos. He was a herdman. That is an unusual word that's used here, and it means that he was the herdman of a peculiar breed of desert sheep. They were a scrub stock, but they grew long wool because it gets cold there in the wintertime, you know. And he also says that he was a gatherer of sycamore fruit. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, the literal is a pincher of sycamores. That is, this was a fruit like a small fig that grew on these scrub trees down there in the desert, and they grew at a lower level than the sycamore that we think of today. And Amos actually then had to travel to his job. He was a migrant worker, if you please. His sheep and his sycamores pushed Amos far out into that desert. He was truly a farmer. He was a country rube. He was a rustic. He was a yokel. He was a hayseed. He was a country preacher. He was a clumsy bumpkin and all thumbs among the ecumenical preachers up yonder in Bethel, where one of the golden calves was. He was that kind of a man. Now, before you laugh at him, may I say this? He was one of God's greatest men. He was a remarkable individual. Listen to what he says, verse 15 of chapter 7. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel. And so God sent him all the way from way down there in the country, in the desert, in the wilderness, all the way up to the northern kingdom, to Bethel, one of the capital cities where you find the city folk living, where it was altogether different than where he came from. God called him to preach. God gave him a message, and God sent him to Bethel, and he came there. Now, it was really, at first, the capital of the northern kingdom, and it was the place where there was one of the golden calves. It was the center of culture and also cults. It was where the sophisticated and the suave folk moved. The jet set lived there. It was the place that was blasé and brazen. It defied God. It was also the intellectual center. They had a school of the prophets there. The seminaries taught liberalism there. They taught about the Graf Welthausen hypothesis that denied the inspiration of the Pentateuch, and the German theologian Bultmann. They went in for all the latest down there, you see. Now, what Bethel did was the thing to do. When they first introduced filter tip cigarettes, why, Bethel was the first place that they were advertised and were used. Then it spread out everywhere. And it also was the place where they worshiped a golden calf and had turned their backs upon Almighty God. And it was the place where you could go to see the style show, the styles that would be popular the next year. Are we going to wear the wide lapel next year? Will there be two or three buttons on the coat? Should you leave the last button unbuttoned to be in style? Well, you'd go to Bethel to find that out. Well, here comes to town this country preacher, this prophet of God, with a message, most unusual message. He's different from any other prophet. You're going to find out his prophecy is different, friends. And actually, the suit of Amos was not cut to the style of Bethel. And neither was his message cut to the style of Bethel. You didn't hear this man giving the type of messages they gave there. In the King's Chapel, there was always a mild-mannered preacher, very sophisticated, well-educated, but a rank unbeliever, who stood in the pulpit and gave little comforting words to the people. He gave them pablum and saccharine sweetness in the message. But now here's a different man. And when Amos arrived, they stared at him at first. But they were very indulgent, of course, there. They were broad-minded, you know. So they smiled at him. I think he had on high-button yellow shoes. That, of course, is coming back today. And I don't know whether it was ever in style in Bethel or not. But at least it was not in style when Amos arrived, and his suit didn't fit him. He unfortunately had the bottom button, which he should not have done. And he had on his first necktie, and it looked like it had been tied by a whirlwind or something like that. And everyone was embarrassed but Amos. Amos was not embarrassed at all, and he created quite a stir. Here he has left the backwoods. He's arrived on the boulevard. He's left the desert. Now he enters the drawing room. He had been with these long-haired sheep out on the desert all of his night. Now he's with the well-groomed goats up yonder in Bethel. And he has left the place of agriculture, and he's come to the place of culture. Now, I think most everyone came to hear him at first. They said, we don't believe he can preach. They came out of curiosity. We don't think this man has any message. They came in amusement, but they left in anger. He was a sensational preacher. His sermons, you see, weren't cut to the style of Bethel. And today we just don't have any of those liberal sermons from that day. But you sure have Amos, and you have his prophecy, and we're going to be looking at it. Now, Amos preached the word of God, and many people were moved, and some turned to God. But you know what happened. Organized religion there, the worship of Baal and the golden calf, they got together. They had the ecumenical movement going there so that they had the same program. If you don't believe anything, then there's nothing to keep you apart. If I don't believe anything, you don't believe anything, we can get together. And that's the ecumenical movement, by the way. And it was going great guns even in that day. Now, you have this man. We find him in the midst of all of organized religion, and they try to silence him. They try to run him out of town. And some of the leading ecumenical leaders called a meeting. And they wanted to remove him. They wanted to withdraw support from him. They told him he'd lose his pension if he didn't change. And there were some fundamental leaders called evangelicals in Bethel. They began to criticize him because he was getting the crowds. They tried to undermine his ministry. But God blessed him. Amos would not compromise. Amos continued to preach the word of God. We're going to see his message in this book, but I want you to meet him today. And they had a mass meeting called of all the religions. And the inevitable happened. It was really the first meeting of the World Council of Churches. And the motto of this first meeting was, Away with Amos. Away with Amos. And now Amaziah, he was appointed as a committee chairman to go see Amos. Now Amaziah was a priest who went into idolatry. Does all of this sound modern to you folk? It's same old story. We think it's modern. It's not. It's been happening ever since man got out of the Garden of Eden. Amaziah was the hired hand of religion. He was polished, was educated, he was proud, he was scholarly, he was pious. He was a classic example of a pseudo-saint. Cleverly and subtly, he worked a master stroke. He got the king to support him because he believed that the church and state and religion and politics should be combined. And so the thing that happened was this, verse 10, back of chapter 7 now. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land's not able to bear all of his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their land. Now, he had said some strange things, it is true. But what he said was true. And it should have been heeded by Jeroboam. Now, he had on his committee, you see there, he had the chief calf caller in the worship of the cow that was set up to worship there. And as you can see on his committee, I think he had Dr. Sounding Brass. He was the president of the School of the Prophets, proud and pompous, and he was a politician par excellence. And also there was Reverend Tinkling Cymbal. He was the pastor of the wealthiest and most influential church in town. He was the yes man to the rich. He couldn't preach, but he was a great little mixer. And it's amazing the things he could mix, by the way. He didn't pound the pulpit because he didn't want to wake his congregation up, but he could sure slap their backs during the week. Now, this committee waited on Amos, and Amaziah, with biting sarcasm, with a rapier of ridicule, with a condescending attitude, he assumed a superior manner, and he says, O thou seer. In other words, he's calling him parson. And what he's saying to him here in verse 12, by the way, also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer. Go, flee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. He says to him, Who told you that you are a preacher? Where's your degree? What school did you go to? Who ordained you? Where did you preach before you came up here? Go, flee away. In other words, he's saying to him, Get out of town. Get lost. Then he tells him here about, and there eat bread. He insinuates that he's preaching for money. And then, my friend, he's not through. But we're going to have to wait till next time. And then we're going to see the remarkable answer that Amos gave to this committee in that day. Say this man Amos was a great preacher. We could use a few Amoses around in this day in which we live. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, there aren't too many men like Amos around these days, but he is so important to us that I want to tell you about a great sermon that Dr. McGee delivered on the life and message of Amos. It's called The Country Preacher Who Came to Town. You can find it in our app or download it at ttb.org. And while you're there, be sure to check out the many other excellent Bible study materials that'll deepen your study of God's Word. or call 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can help you find it. And when you're in touch, why don't you sign up to get our monthly ministry newsletter? I think that you're really going to benefit from it. Each issue has got more teaching by Dr. McGee, as well as application tips to help you make these truths your own, and inside information on our partners and listening family around the world. Again, to sign up, visit ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. There's more in this fascinating study of Amos, so join us next time as we make our way through the Bible.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Today's study is always available, free to stream or download, thanks to the generous and faithful investments from your fellow Bible Bus travelers. Just go to ttb.org or download our app to listen again anytime. As always, we'd love to know what's God teaching you. Thank you.
You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, good. This is to all our faith partners and radio listeners. I pray that all is well and your hearts are in tune with the word of God today. What a word is going to come forth. Hallelujah. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly in Melbourne, Florida. And it's our pleasure to present unto you the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save your soul. And you know what Jesus said? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and he will give you rest for your souls. Glory to God. Our church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, Melbourne, Florida, 32935. Our P.O. box is 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902 for any correspondences. The church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Now, here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord out there. We thank God for Mother Gloria's opportunity just to come into your homes and prison cells, automobiles, and wherever you are to tune into this broadcast, because it is a blessing to be able to hear what the word of God is saying. And there are many people today that are talking about God, but they don't know God. They're talking about the word of God. They don't know the word. And they're saying a lot of things to tickle the ears of those that have itching ears. But I want to tell you today that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. And what is happening is that they're walking in darkness and claiming it as being light, but they've been grossly deceived because that is not what the word of God says. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Hear what I'm saying out there in radio land. There is no darkness at all. So if you feel that you're walking in the light and there's all kind of darkness in your life, you need to reexamine yourself and find out that where you stand with the true and living God. Because God is light, as the word of God says. And his instruction that he has given unto us, that not only that he is light, but that we are to walk in that light. We are to walk in the light of the Lord, praise God. Not our own light, but the light of the Lord. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, the Bible tells us this. And we don't need to try to skirt the issue or perhaps try and make people feel that we are Christians or we're religious or whatever the case might be. It's all through the relationship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you have a relationship with the Lord, you don't have to concern yourself about walking in that light because you're already in the light. There are folks that are sitting in churches here that are claiming that they are in the light and they are in gross darkness. Let me tell you something. It is not my job to judge anyone. There's only one judge, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true and the righteous judge. And at the end of everything, when the sun goes down, Jesus is the one that's going to judge all mankind. Everyone will stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I just want to tell you this morning that you walk in this light. Do be considerate about what light you are in, praise God. Don't concern yourself with the light of somebody else. There are many people today, they're concerned about, well, the pastor's light. They're concerned about the deacon's light. They're concerned about all these other folks' light. No, be concerned about your life. Are you, as an individual, walking in the light? And that's the light of the Lord. So the Bible tells us that in 1 John 1 and verse 7, walk in the light as he is in the light. So if you're going to have fellowship with God, you're going to have to walk in the light. You cannot walk in darkness and claim that you're walking in light, because God is light. He said to walk in the light as he is in the light, and you have fellowship with him. Praise God. Fellowship with one another. Praise the Lord. And I tell you, it's a beautiful thing when you can understand, not that you're putting yourself on a pedestal, but that you realize that your relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ and only him. There are people today that are overly concerned about, well, what are you doing? Well, you do what you're supposed to do, because in the day of judgment, you will stand before God. The Bible tells us that God has appointed men to die once, and after that, judgment. You're going to stand before God. So if you're walking in darkness and claiming it to be light, you have grossly deceived yourself, because men love darkness. This is why folks don't want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to stay in the world and do the things that they want to do. God loves you, but he doesn't love the sin that you're in, the things that you're doing. No, men love darkness because their works or their deeds are evil. Come out of it. Give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to do this work in your life. Praise God. He will change you. He will take your life and do something with it. Give you the relationship that you should have with him. So the Bible tells us that when we walk in that light, we have a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And God is not a liar. God is all truth. Not some truth, but all truth. And what he said in his word, that all have sinned. Listen to what I'm saying out there in radio land. All have sinned. There's no greater sin. There's no little sin. There's no middle sin. It's all sin. And the word tells us in Romans 3, verse 23, as Apostle Paul was saying, for all have sinned. Hear what I'm saying. All have sinned and come to the short of the glory of gospel of Jesus Christ, to the glory of God. You can walk in this life. You don't have to pretend. You can be just as real as everybody else, having a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you say you have not sinned, you make him a liar, and the truth is not in you. Hear what I'm saying? The truth is not in you. Well, we know the truth is not in you. Jesus is the truth, praise God. You can have all kinds of meetings you want to. You can do all kinds of things, but if you're not walking in the truth, you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Walk in this light. There are folks that are doing one thing. I call them bilateral Christians. They're one way today, tomorrow they're some other way. Let me tell you something. It's not my concern what you're doing. It's not my concern how you're doing. It's my concern when you say that you are a child of God and you're walking in darkness. No, it can't be. Either darkness or light. And God has called us out of darkness and placed us in his light. Everyone that believe and have received him have step into the light of God. Where are you today? Are you walking in the light of God? Are you glorifying God? Are you letting your light shine? Or are you just glorifying yourself? There are people out there that, that's glorifying themselves. But the Bible tells us that we are to let our light so shine that men will see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let me tell you something. None of us are able to brag about anything that we have because it all comes from God. Heaven is full of folks, not good people. They're full of folks that's been saved. You see what I'm saying? That were bad, received the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're saved. Hell is full of people that realize that they could have been saved if they had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and walked in that light. Praise God. Walk in that light. And I tell you, today you have that opportunity. Miss Bro, you want to take it on from here and talk to these people about that light.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
That's how simple it is. It's not some monumental task that you have to go through in order to be saved. No, that's not what the Word of God says. People today are making it so difficult. And the people are saying, well, I can't do that. It's too hard. No, but God said in his Word, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, just say the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, say you'll be saved. That's all you have to do. I said, and believe. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can't walk in darkness and claim that you're in the light. You cannot walk according to your own way of life. You have to give your life unto the Lord Jesus Christ and let him take full control of what's going on. Somebody say, leave it to Jesus.
Leave it to Jesus.
That's what you have to do. Leave it all to Jesus, and he will take care of everything. Mind you, take your hands off of it. Leave it to Jesus. Say, Lord, I come to you. I want you to change my life. I've been walking in darkness where I see that there's no benefit walking in darkness, so I want to walk in the light as you are in the light. And I want to have fellowship, relationship with you. Praise God. Because if I confess my sins, well, there are many sins that we've committed that some we cannot even remember, but God knows them all. He knows exactly what you've done. What I tell you, when you come to him and say you want to confess your sin, you're telling him, giving him the opportunity to go from A to Z to find, to show, to eradicate, to destroy every evil work that you've done. And he'll clean you up and place you in the body of Christ. That's why the Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creature. So all that junk and stuff that you had while you were an old creature, you can't bring that in to the new creature life. You have to leave it there. You have to stand firm and say, I'm a new creature. So whatever sickness, disease, whatever the problem may be, it's in the old man. It's not in me now. Praise God. I'm confessing the Word of God. Whatever folks are saying, oh, you hear people say, well, yeah, but I had this. My family members had this. Let me tell you, if it's an old way of life, if God has made you a new creature, God sees you as if you've never sinned. And this is where we place our faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that will do the entire work in our lives. Confess your sin. I said, confess your sin and ask God to forgive you and believe in your heart that God has raised him up from the dead. And the Bible says you'll be saved. You'll be saved. There are many people today that want to get saved, but they see so many obstacles that people are telling them, well, you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to clean yourself up before you come to God. All those are lies. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will do the cleaning. I said, Jesus will do the cleaning. Praise God. He'll clean you up. Cancel out that religious spirit. Cancel out that thing that's telling you, well, you got to clean yourself up before you come to God. None of us clean ourselves up. God did the work. He's the one that have done the work. Praise the Lord. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful. I say he is faithful. Your pastor may not be faithful. The bishop may not be faithful. The presbyter may not be faithful. But the Bible says God is faithful.
Amen.
Who will not permit you to be suffering above that which you're able. That's the kind of God that we serve. But will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. What he will do is that he will give you strength and power, and that way you can walk in everything that he represents. Praise God. Men, deeds are evil. Men, deeds are evil. They love darkness. If a thief's going to come and break into your house, he wait until it gets dark most of the time so that no one can see him. Very little, if any, visibility where they can see or identify him. And what he does is that he comes in, he tries to steal, and destroy. But I want to tell you today, we as children of God, we are walking in the light of God's word. Praise God. What the word of God says is what we do. What the word of God says is what we say. The word of God, whatever the word of God says, is what we live. Praise God, praise God. We bless the Lord for my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He's holy. I'm not holy. He's righteous. I'm not righteous. He's forgiving. I'm not forgiving. But I want to tell you, in Christ, I am holy. In Christ, I am righteous. In Christ, I am forgiven. In Christ, I'm everything. So if he loves you, take a moment to see what your position is and say, Lord, I want to take this eternal step. I want to step out of eternal darkness into the eternal light. And that light is God. God is light. Mr. Bro, you got something you want to say?
Yeah, it's all about Jesus, because he said there's no way you can come to him except you receive him. Remember in John 14:6, it says, Jesus said unto his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no child can come unto the Father but by Jesus. It says me. I don't want to say it's me. It's Jesus. You must receive Jesus. You want to get to heaven, you have to receive Jesus.
That is the whole idea. But you got to step out of darkness. You got to realize your position, wherever you are, and what you are, and what you're doing, and come to a saving grace and knowledge, and say, well, I don't deserve all of this. My deeds should not be evil. My deeds should glorify God. I want to come out of this darkness. Jesus will help you. I said, Jesus will help you. But he cannot help you if you don't want to come to him. He will not violate your power of choice or will. He'll let you go exactly where you're going. But the thing of it is that if you come to him, give your life to him, to change it. That means that you give him the authority to come into your life and to give you a life check. That life check will determine everything, whether it's right or wrong. He'll cast out the wrong and give you the right.
Amen.
And the right way would be that he would save your soul. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe. I said, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You say you'll be saved. You don't have to worry about all these other things that people are telling you. A lot of it is not the gospel anyway. It's just man's preference and what he feels that you should be doing. But when you come to the word, you ask the person, give me the word. Give me the word of God. Let God speak to me. Let him change my life. Praise God. Well, I'm telling you, they're all out there in radio land. You have an opportunity, praise the Lord, to have your life changed. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You know all these things.
We all have choices.
But to know something and not to do it, the Bible says that's sin. So what it is that when you know it, then you go ahead on and do it. So right now we've told you that Jesus Christ, he's the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that we should have the relationship with as a child of God and come to him that our lives may be changed. He's our strength. He's our revelation. He's our everything. And we trust him. Praise God.
We thank the Lord that he's long-suffering. Because it says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. All of his promises are yea and amen.
Amen.
As some men count slackness.
Yes.
But is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants all. He don't care who you are. He created you, and he wants you to come back to him.
He knows that all are not coming, but it's his desire that all come. The door is open for all, but all is not coming. He knows that. That shows you how faithful, how willing and trustworthy the God that we serve is. He opened the door wide for everybody. I remember when out there fishing, you throw the net out there, you caught porgies, you caught blowfish, you caught shrimp, you caught all kinds of fish. Well, bring the net in so we can look at it. The ones we want to keep and the ones we want to throw away. Well, God is good. And he loves us. Well, he does not want you walking in darkness and you're saying that you're walking in the light. That is not true. Men, the Bible said, love darkness. That's unregenerated men. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. They want to do dirty work. Their deeds are evil. You want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. So today I ask you that if you tune into this broadcast, listen, no one can make you do anything. You have free will. God can't make you. And if he has not made you, then no one else can make you. So the whole idea is that confess your sin and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and change your life. Now, Minister Brody is going to extend an invitation out there to everyone that is tuning into this broadcast. And whether you're saved or not, you may have backslid and don't even know it. Backslidden Christians, they're hearing the gospel, but they don't want to hear it. Well, let me tell you something. There are people that are in the church of sort, like, just like that. But the thing is that, look at your relationship. Are you on fire or not? Where you want to read?
That if thou should confess, there we go again, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But whosoever, Lord have mercy, we all are whosoever, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Now, this is the word, faith. You must believe who Jesus is.
He is the vehicle to salvation. He is the vehicle to get back to heaven. Because the word says, no man can come to the Father but he that sent him John, and he'll raise him up at the last day. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me. Well, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that we can just talk to you concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and give him all the praise, because in the next 2 minutes here, we just want to express our condolences and our prayers go out to those that have lost loved ones and those that are sick and need healing in their bodies. And I want to pray for them. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would touch those that are sick, that need healing in their bodies, that you would touch them, Lord. You're the only one that's able to do it. So we place them in your hands, that you would touch them, raise them up. You're the one. There's no one counseling you. You do all things after the counsel of your own will. We place them in your hands, and what your word says is what will be established. Thank you so much this morning for everything in Jesus' mighty name. Well, if you heard this broadcast, you don't have to call us. Call on the name of Jesus. Jesus will save. We cannot save you. We can make a mess of it. But I tell you one thing, if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll see you through. He will bring everything that you need to total fruition. So we thank the Lord for it. Well, God bless you all out there in radio land. I ask that you bless the radio ministers and the radio manager and everybody that comes in, because their deeds are not evil. They're walking in the light. Praise God. Until the next broadcast, I pray that you continue to tune in, and maybe at some point in time, we will be right there at the station. And if you have time in the immediate area, just come by and we'll talk to you. We'll pray for you. In Jesus' mighty name. Don't forget, the telephone number is
321. 321. 321. 321-255-6999.
Praise God, praise God. Well, that shows that we all are human and we need help. Well, God bless you. Bless the radio station. Multiply numbers in terms of people that will tune into the broadcast and even those that will be able to get on the broadcast, and let God meet your needs. Until next time, I'm Pastor Ross of New Life Assembly.
And Minister Gloria Ross.
And we ask his blessings upon everything that you do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Hour.